The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Hey, welcome back. It's great to have you here for the second half of the show. We began talking to Hendon Hooker. And a lot of reaction to that interview. Booker is up next, talking from New Jersey.
Hello, Paul. Thanks again for taking my call.
Thank you, Booker.
What an interview, and what a outstanding young man.
Absolutely, I'm glad you were able to see it.
Yeah, he helped me to overcome. One of my big biases, you know, Big Ten, you know, that's what I Buckeye. Hello?
Yeah, no, I'm hanging on every word right now.
Yeah, you know, and I said, you know, we got to get, you know, I start with myself. You know, I tell other people, you know, get rid of what you're doing. You know, I see everything, you know, Big Ten. Even though I grew up, as I told you before, I grew up in South Carolina, but I migrated that way because at that time the Hendon Hookers couldn't play for Tennessee and Alabama and Georgia and South Carolina, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But and you know I'm looking at things now. My favorite candidate for the Heisman, you know who that is, C.J. Stroud. But that's an impressive young man, and that was a magnificent interview. And you can tell that he was raised right. He's living what looks like an outstanding life of accomplishment. And I just hope that people in this country, including myself, would get over these old biases that we have. I pray that Hendon Hooker can walk around in Knoxville and not be in the wrong place, and they don't know that he's Hendon Hooker, and then ends up getting, you know, jacked up or something because of the color of his skin. That was an impressive interview, and that's
Thank you very, very much. I think I've got I have a bigger chance of getting jacked up in Knoxville right now than Hendon Hooker. I mean, I don't think anybody is going to do anything but buy Hendon Hooker a beer. Jim is up next.
Well, it's going to probably break the monotony, not the monotony, it's going to break the trend of where you're headed with the stuff you're talking about. But, you know, you had a guy a while ago that about an hour or 30 minutes ago, Colin, that said he felt bad for me.
Yeah.
And I don't talk ball, and I was going to explain. But, you know, I don't feel bad about, for me, Colin, because I know who I heard get me to not talk ball anymore. Paul, I think I told you, I didn't tell you in pure detail, but I have told you at some point, I think I went on and told you exactly what happened, but my creator, Paul, my creator, let me know strongly. I don't want you talking about ball.
Now, Jim, I'm not being, I don't, devil's advocate would be an inappropriate way to phrase this, but can you tell us more about what he told you?
Well, you might think I'm crazy, but people think you're crazy
not.
Because they say God spoke to me. What?
So God spoke.
I think I told you this.
Well, no, you told me that privately. I don't think you've ever said it publicly.
I did privately. I didn't feel compelled to say this because it'll turn some people off that love ball. But it's the truth, Paul. Tell me, do you know anybody that talked ball? Do you think Legend talked ball better than I did before I stopped about 5 years ago?
Nobody did.
I'm just gonna be honest. Be honest.
No, Jim, my record on you in the past is pretty well established.
Well, answer the question. No, just answer it this way. Could I talk ball? Did I know ball?
Yes. Yes.
Here's what happened, Paul. That's why my influence might have been a reason, but I'm just telling you. I'm telling you the verbatim truth. About 5 years ago, you and I were into the ball about saving and things like that every day. Every day. This is God's my witness. This is the truth. I reached to put my hand on the phone to call you. I'm going to have a big session about ball. And this is what I heard, and I've heard my creator. I know him when I hear him, Paul. You don't mistake it if you hear from him. You know. It's who it is. You know who it is. And here's what I heard. I don't want you to talk about Ball anymore on Feinbaum. You mean to tell you the last thing he said?
No. Yes.
Well, it's strong, but I'm telling you what he said. I don't want you talking about Ball anymore. It's based on a lie. That's all he said. That's all he said. But all I need to know, I knew who told me that. And you better believe I was tearful.
Jim, I know this is I don't know what the protocol is, because I really have never spoken to anybody who had been in this position before. But was he specific in the
community? That's all he said, Paul.
So, I mean, he just
talking
said
about, I'm, no, I'm no. Just talking
did
about
he,
football,
did he say
Paul?
To you, don't talk about Ball or don't talk
no,
about
– No, I got that wrong. Verbatim what he said, I don't want you talking about football. That's what he said. I don't want you talking about football anymore on Feinbaum. It's based on a lie. Now, let me go from
so –
that's
it,
all
it was
I heard.
No, but it was specifically told to you
– football.
It wasn't in general. It was on this show, correct?
He mentioned exactly. He said, I don't – let me say it again. Verbatim what he said. I don't want you talking about football anymore on the Feinbaum show. It's based on a lie. Now, I'm going to tell you something else I'm questioning him about. Why didn't you tell Tim Tebow that? You know what came back to me? He didn't tell me this, but this thought came back to me. In Proverbs 3, verse 6 says, commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. I questioned him kind of in my mind one time. Why don't you tell Tim Tebow that? You know what came to me? Because Tim Tebow played some ball big time, and he's known for that, and he has a tremendous influence on people talking about Ball and other things about God, and that's what God brought to me, that why he wasn't telling Tim Tebow the same thing he told me. I don't know. All I know is that this is a fact. You heard a guy a while ago. You had a guy, that loudmouth guy on the show, you know, I don't like, he doesn't like me, but I'm not going to go into that with him. But he admitted one day that he worshipped a coach. He worshipped a football. He worshipped Nick Saban is what he said. You know that.
I need to clear this up, because and maybe I shouldn't. Maybe – it's a dangerous question to ask.
I don't
you.
Have to answer, but what do you mean?
You don't
mean
have
to.
But do you think he was saying football is based on a lie, or this show is based on a lie?
No, he wasn't talking about the show,
okay.
Paul.
I needed to know that.
Let me say it again, what he said. He said, I don't want you talking about football anymore on the Feinbaum show.
Okay.
It's based on a lie. Now, I never considered he was talking about the Feinbaum show being based on a lie. He was telling me not to talk about football, period. And it was based on a lie, and he knew all I talked about on the Feinbaum show was football, Paul. That's the bottom line.
Right.
You shouldn't be hard for you to see that. Let me say something else. There's a verse of Scripture that came to me before I made this call. And it's a strong Scripture, but it's in there, and it's strong. And it says, it's in Proverbs. It says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Paul, I want to tell you something else that I wrote – about 7 or 8 years ago, before even God told me that, I was riding around with a tremendous Jewish Christian. You would know him. Jewish Christian. He was dynamic Christian and a full-blooded Jew, and you couldn't talk to him about nothing until God converted him to a Christian. And he had a relationship with God that I've never seen. He was a powerful prayer warrior, prayed for the sick, and they got healed. And we were riding around one day after the football game at Denny Stadium, riding around Denny Stadium, and he looked up at the people that were – it was about an hour and a half, 2 hours after the game. About 6:30, you could still – it was, you know, still – you could see the people everywhere around the stadium. 2 hours after the game, he looked at me and he said, you know what that is? I said, no, what is it? He said, that's pagan worship. They worshipped it. They worshipped that football, Paul. I didn't worship it. I knew it. I played it. I loved it. But I never worshipped it. But I'm just telling you the truth. And if Colin's word about me, I thank God that I know my Creator – and I know when he tells me something, and I knew not to do anymore. It's been hard, Paul, because I love talking ball, but I was good at it. I played the game well, and I knew the game. And you know that, but it was hard on me. But, you know, that's what I heard, and that's all I can tell you. And that's the facts. That's the truth. And I would not – if you think I'd ever make that up, I think I wouldn't make something up like that.
No. Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us.
Well, I didn't want to, but, you know, I didn't at the start. I told you it was the first one. I first told you that off that air, whenever, or maybe on there about 5 years ago. I said I was strongly convicted, and that's all I said. You remember?
Yeah, no, I remember when you told me, and it never left my head, and it's something that I was troubled by. Not by you, but just the idea that. But anyway, you've laid it out well, and I appreciate you sharing that. And thank
you. I appreciate you and your attitude, because that's you're basing your living on that. And if I'm gonna tell you something else, if people are ignorant about it, like I was ignorant until he told me that. If people are ignorant, they're not gonna be judged for that, I don't think. But you know what else he said? He wants people to put out the truth, and that's what Jesus did when he was on earth. He put out the truth, and people didn't like him a lot of times because he did put out the truth. You know that, too.
I do. No. Well, Jim, thank you.
I appreciate it, Paul.
You bet.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll take a short break here and be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we are back here on a Wednesday afternoon. Squirrel is next.
I mean, it's been a real good show today, Paul. I mean, you had a little bit of mix of everything, and you even had a phoner feud thrown in. But, you know, the bad thing about the majority of phoner feuds is that they're chattering over each other, and you really can't hear what each one's saying.
Yeah, that has always been.
That
has always been an issue.
Is there any way you can – is there anything you can do from the technology side of it, from the control room, and give each one about 20 seconds?
If one person was talking and then the other person, we could turn down the audio.
Well, if you notice, when I've been in phoner feuds, I've always tried to give the other feuder a little respect. And,
right.
And when he pauses for breath, that's when I body slam him. And I wish others would do that.
These two, the two that we had on earlier are not really interested in pausing.
But there was some good stuff coming from each one. That's why I wish we could have heard it. And like I said, maybe they'll be a little more courteous to each other in the future.
Well,
and
Squirrel, here's the good news. There'll be another one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There may be one before the end of this call. You never know.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of retirement talk. Who was the one that said he waited too late for retirement?
That was Dave in Missouri.
Too late for retirement.
Yeah.
I missed the rest of his call. Yeah, I wish I'd heard the rest of his call. I'm going to try to find it.
Yeah.
But, no, I encourage everybody to retire as soon as they can. Have you given any thought to it?
I'm thinking about this being my last day, yes. I've given a lot of thought
right
to it.
And
I don't know who's here tomorrow, but it won't be me.
I got you. What's this I hear about you slipping in the Magnolia State this weekend?
Yes, we will be in Oxford Friday afternoon.
Well,
come on up and show me around.
What would happen if me and Mama Squirrel headed up that way?
Hey, you come up and show me the square.
You spoiled me in Star last time, remember?
Yeah,
Where are y'all broadcasting from?
We'll be the Grove, same place we always do. In Oxford.
Oh, okay, that's what I thought you were. When you said the square just now, I was going, wait a minute.
Well, no, I was talking about,
Show
me around later. I mean, I don't know my way around.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. Well, you know, remember I saw you up in Starkville a few years ago, and
I remember you and your son were there on one of the truly memorable days in the show's history.
Right before he body slammed Moorhead for 15 minutes. That was classic.
I didn't mean to.
When he left, you walked.
He seemed like a perfectly nice man.
Here's what you did when you, I don't know if you know you did it, when you got through, you took off whatever and you walked over to me and my son and you shook your shoulders like you just got through punching somebody trying to, you know, get the anxiety out or something like that. It was pretty funny, like you just body slammed. It was just great. I don't know if you're aware you did that. But anyway, why don't you look for me up?
Yeah, no, we'll be usual. You know the hours of the show, so you show up anytime you want.
I know where you're going to be. All right. Well, I'm going to be there. And
you know where the stage is at the square at the Grove.
Yes.
We will be. Yes. If you know.
I saw you there one time.
Yeah,
we'll
be right to the left of the stage, or the right. We'll be right to the facing out. We'll be to the right of the stage.
Sure. I know where you're going to be. I'll see you tomorrow afternoon. Friday afternoon.
Look forward to it.
Hello.
You got it. Trey is up next. Hey, Trey.
Hey, Paul. Can I ask you a favor, please?
Sure.
Can I quit praying for Jim a minute and give him a piece of my mind? Is that okay with you?
Please.
Jim is the biggest hypocrite to call the show. My mama always warned me about people who profess and talk about God and read scriptures and then but don't live it and turn around and treat others like crap. And I don't understand a man that has put this show down for the last 2 weeks to call in three times a day. You are not anybody's maker. And he sits there and tells I-Man, which I agree with a lot of what I-Man said, that he's going to meet karma or his maker one day. Yet Jim is sitting there doing the same thing like he's God's gift to everybody that calls this show. This show has passed Jim up. He is not relevant. And I'm tired of hearing Jim say, but Paul, remember how it used to be 10 years ago? It needs to be like it used to be. Just me and you, Paul. Just me and you, Paul. I want it back the way it used to be. These callers are tired of hearing his whiny, pansy behind call in this show and tell about his drama. I'm tired of hearing it. Everybody's tired of hearing it.
Yeah, but Trey,
if
I could inject or interject, I don't even know what I'm thinking here anymore. I found Jim's response to be very compelling. I mean, how many people do you know who could say or have said what he said?
Well, Paul, Jim said a lot of things that I don't believe somebody could say that he said on this show.
Well,
it's one thing
to make an allegation against a caller. It's another thing to quote Jim from a few minutes ago to say that he spoke to his creator and he specifically said to him, don't talk ball on the Feinbaum show.
Okay, well, ask Jim this. Did his creator tell him that it's okay to act like he acts towards you and other callers on this show? That's hypocritical, Paul.
That's your opinion.
I don't like that.
I mean, you're asking me a question that I am not qualified to answer.
Well, Jim can believe in anybody he wants to.
So are you saying you don't believe that he talked to his creator?
No, what I said was I don't believe Jim lives by what I created provides for us.
Yeah, but now you're judging another man.
I know I'm judging by his actions, Paul, not by somebody that reads the scriptures.
Well, when somebody tells me what he told us, I'm standing up and listening. I'm not laughing
I'm not going to fault you for that. Paul, I'm not going to fault you for that, but I'm not going to stand up and listen to him because of the way he's acted before. I don't trust anything the man says. You can't say that one statement, but then act like you've acted the last month on this show. I just don't believe anything the man says. I don't believe it. I just don't.
If someone says to you, which he said to me, I spoke to my creator, and this is what he told me. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not the most learned theologian in the world. I try to learn as much and listen to as much and be as good a person as I can possibly be. Not always successful, but in my life, I've never spoken to someone and had a conversation like that.
Well, Paul, I'm not saying he didn't, but I'm telling you, I go by a human being's. Paul, I was on my deathbed. I didn't see a light, but I felt something for about a minute, about 6 years ago. And it's changed my whole life. And I don't call in and act like that. And I'm not saying that might have happened. I don't know. But I do know this much. People that are Christians, people that quote the Bible, do not call others' names like he does, and they don't do what he has done to you. You are very important to a ton of callers. And for him to call in three times in one day, I'm tired of hearing about Jim and Jim and Jim. I'm tired of it. I want to hear about – he don't have to talk about sports, but quit putting other people down. And his excuse for doing it, this is what gets me. I have a right to do it because you did it to me. Does that sound like something the creator would tell you to do? You have a right to treat somebody else like crap because they treated you like crap? I don't try to do that. I don't live my life that way, and I'm not perfect. I'm just tired of hearing this guy talk about the scriptures and how this person, he's all into the Bible and all this kind of stuff, and his actions show differently. It's so easy to read the Bible and quote a scripture. I judge you by the way you act.
Okay,
now, can
Trey,
I ask
listen,
you
I hate to run.
Question.
We're up against a break, but we'll continue this. I don't think we can solve this issue tonight. Maybe ever. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
And welcome back here as we continue on a Wednesday afternoon. Ranger is in Knoxville.
Hey, Pastor Paul, how are you doing today?
Very, very well, my son.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. It has been a while since I've got to talk to you. Feel like I need 2 hours just to debrief. I enjoyed yesterday's show, but I enjoyed the interview with Hendon today. What we all in Knoxville know about him, it was good to get that information out nationwide. And I nominate Gloria as call of the day.
She was great.
And why their marriage lasted so long, which ties into yesterday's show, is because her and her husband rooted for the same team. And I am against cross-SEC relations. Because you had a caller yesterday, I believe she was from Virginia, said she was a Tennessee fan married to an Alabama fan. Was that right?
That is true.
And and she made the statement that, you know, we don't get all excited in Tennessee about football. Well, I think she needs to kick him to the curb, because we do get excited about Tennessee football, and always will. We've taken our lumps, and we get excited in other ways, usually through anger and those years that we've had. And I've told you this before, but I just absolutely love it when you have Stinch come on. I learn something new every time I hear him speak, I believe.
Whether yeah, you know, Matt is very cerebral for a TV football analyst. And
very.
And
very
relatable. Oxymoron.
Yeah. And he relates his message well. I wanted, but don't want to take all of your time up, but flip the script a little bit. Instead of people tearing into each other, I want to say that the caller that I would like to meet most would be Handsome Joe.
I think you would like him. I have met him, and he is one of the most genuine people that we have on this program. Hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it very, very much. Dave is in South Carolina. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, I just want to say I think it's hilarious the way you keep a straight face with some of these jokers on here. These phone calls you get from the state of Alabama, you need to have your own private personal segment of All My Idiots.
That would be a good show, by the way.
But
can't believe it hasn't already happened.
you had an episode today.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some talk of a show like that. It's never quite gone to production, but today's show would be the pilot.
Yeah, I think I-Man and Jim need to go visit Gloria, and they need to go outside and pull a switch off a tree and let her give them some hickory tea, and maybe they'd straighten her act up. But I loved the interview with Hendon. I'm a big Tennessee fan. I think it was awesome the way they played Saturday. You know, we've had to deal with the coaches in the past. I don't think enough credit's been given out to Heupel, the job he's done with what the dumpster fire he was left with and the very few decent players we had left after the end of the year before last, and what he's done with the offense is phenomenal. I love to see the Alabama fans getting a little anxious and the Georgia fans getting a little anxious, because they know. They're seeing what's going on. They don't want to admit it. They're good at real talking about how much, you know, they're going to beat Tennessee. But I think Tennessee's schedule this year, they very well could be in the SEC championship if the stars line right. I'm not if and buts or candy nuts, we're all having Merry Christmas. But, you know, stranger things happen. If you don't bring your A game on Saturdays, you know, you can walk away with the loss.
No, Tennessee's the kind of team that can do that to you. Yeah, anyway, I realize some of you are just getting on board. We had Hendon Hooker on a couple hours ago, and everybody is raving about the conversation with him. Jordan is in Knoxville. Hello, Jordan. Jordan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, well, great to have you on.
You know, I listen about every day. I hear Jim talking. Usually hate hearing his voice. I'm a Vol fan, but I think today he made some good points. You know, I was going to get on here and try to rouse some Bama fans up. Just kind of, I feel like their team's a little down this year, but I don't know. It just, what he was saying earlier seemed to kind of hit home, and I think we could all learn a lesson from it. You know, it seems like football does get the best of a lot of people, and almost like it's a greater evil that's kind of been created.
Well, yeah, and I will say this, and people can make their own judgments, but it was worth listening to, because I've never had a conversation to the degree that we had that one. Let's take a break. A lot to do. We still have plenty of time to do it, and we will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's up, Fine Bombers? Welcome in. This is the Out of Pocket set. Roman Harper filling in for the day. Alyssa Lang here with you. You're on Twitter. You're on the social media machines.
I am. I don't always respond, but yes.
Roman sends tweets and then just lets it go. LeBron James. That's what I need to be doing. Sent this tweet the other day. Do I have college eligibility if I went to play another sport besides basketball? How does that rule work? I can only assume that LeBron, in the middle of college football season, Roman, is sitting here going, I would have probably made a pretty good edge rusher. I probably could have played.
Yeah, until he gets cut or then they put the paws on him. Then he'd be like, I don't know if I
like. You don't think he could swing it?
No, he's definitely going to play often.
Man,
and try and score a touchdown.
Well, that inspired this week's A-list. The people that we are saying, please, please, please don't have any eligibility left because we don't want to see our teams or ourselves or anyone we know or love have to line up against these guys. So at number five, Drea Carter submitted some of these answers as well. At number five, we have Hawkeye from The Avengers.
Of course, I know the movie.
The crazy accuracy.
Oh,
not
he's
because
so good.
He's like, you know, super strong or super fast, but he's going to complete every single pass.
I do believe Auburn's really good at archery, and I know they're really good at equestrian.
Hawkeye went to Auburn?
No, but
Hawkeye,
if he did, if he had to commit, he'd probably commit to the Auburn football team.
War damn Hawkeye?
Yeah, war damn Hawkeye, or whatever they're going to say.
If Hawkeye, maybe they could use him right now, actually, in that quarterback room, because they are beat up. They need some other options at this point.
You can't throw the ball with two hands, which is what Hawkeye mostly uses.
It's tough. All right, number four, please don't have any eligibility left. Usain Bolt, this was Andreas, for obvious reasons.
This is easily one of the easiest yes moments ever. Usain Bolt, nobody's going to be able to run up with this guy. The biggest thing is he's probably going to play football, and he's probably going to play wide receiver because I don't see him playing anything else. And if I have to go up against Usain Bolt, I am press-belling and getting way, way, way back because he can only run fast.
Special teams legend, though. Could you imagine him on kick return?
No, dude, nobody returns kicks anymore.
Okay, punt return.
Punt return's even more dangerous, Alyssa. You don't want to do that. All these people just coming down at me. Blocking's not right.
We actually haven't really seen him weave in and out either.
Yeah, exactly.
We've only seen him run in a straight line.
Just
so it's post route.
Wide receiver.
Post route every time we're beating you with speed. All right, number three, as far as people we are hoping don't have any eligibility left, the Mountain from Game of Thrones. Another self-explanatory.
I mean, his name is The Mountain.
The Mountain.
At this point, do we need to say anything else? The moment this guy lines up, and I said this earlier, I'm probably questioning his lateral movement, so I want to put him at guard and just have this guy be a mountain of a man and just destroy everybody in front of him.
If you think this has a happy ending, you haven't been paying attention. The best Game of Thrones quote of all time. The Mountain or the Hound, though. We could have put the Hound up there, too.
Yeah, we could have. And also another great quote is, you know nothing, Jon Snow.
Well, that one's not relevant, but yeah. Yeah, that works too. That one works too. Roman adding Jon Snow to the list because you also can't take him out. He's always going to come back in the game, get stabbed through the stomach, doesn't matter. Number two, present day Taquio Spikes. This was mine. Here's the reason, Roman. I had some friends and family visit me at work not too long ago. Taquio was here. We had just done an SEC Now. And my future father-in-law made a comment saying, I think Taquio could strap up right now and continue to play football in the NFL because he still looks like he's going through camp.
Fantastic shape. And I told you the reason why. It's because his mentality is that he's not married. This guy's still hitting curls for the girls. He's still all in. This guy's hitting deep squats. He's doing it all.
But that doesn't build the neck.
No,
neck routine? That's genetic.
He came out like that. He came out like that.
Started from the bottom with
he
that.
He came
thing.
Out like that.
Man, Takeo Spike's still going to take everybody out. All right, and number one, The Big Show.
Yeah.
Obviously.
He's an actor. He's 7 feet tall. Nobody wants to see this guy. I mean, only reason you wouldn't be as worried is because he's a little bit older.
Ooh, I still wouldn't want to face off.
No, I didn't say I was going up against him.
Is there anyone we left off the list who you thought of? I'm putting you on the spot.
No, that's a little bit on the spot. I don't know. I think I'm all right with that list.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to have to face off against you, mostly because I like you, and I wouldn't want to have to, you know, truck you or anything.
I appreciate that, Lane.
Look at me.
I would love to face you in a one-on-one battle and see how this thing
one-on-one
works out.
One-on-one what?
I promise you, one of us is going to be a little disappointed.
Shuffleboard?
Probably
I'll beat
not
you in shuffleboard.
Oh, hey, shuffleboard.
Out of pocket tonight, 7 o'clock, Roman Harper in the house.
And we are back here late in the third hour, and Jeff is up next in Columbus, Ohio.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff.
Man, a tough day for the Florida Gulf Coast, isn't it?
Yes.
Have you talked to your friends down in Naples?
Haven't heard from them lately.
Yeah, it's not good at all down there. The storm surge is just incredible. I mean, I can't get over how much water is being pushed inland. You know, it's crazy, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, you know, a lot of fans and people in the media have been, you know, talking about like a czar or commissioner for college football. And I think it'd be a good idea if we had somebody. But in all honesty, from people you've talked to, and do you think we'll ever get one?
No, because there are too many fiefdoms that are going to war over everything. I've yet to hear one person mention that would be universal, and that's what it would take. It takes somebody that is universally respected and that everyone else could agree on.
Yeah, because that's what I've talked to you about before, is that we're turning college sports into more of a professional model, but it's the biggest split faction of groups that I think of anything that's out there that's kind of trying to be run like a business. It's so split up and special interest driven. I'm wondering if the only way to pull it off, and if you talk to like Sankey or anybody, why don't they appoint like a 3 or 5 person, you know, almost like the NCAA tournament committee or something, and run it that way? Because at some point
they do.
Have to.
The college football playoff is an in theory an independent group where everybody lords over it. But I've heard people in your area complain that the CFP is biased toward the SEC. So
but half the people on that committee, Paul, aren't even involved in football. You got
I agree. I mean, I've made plenty of criticism of that. But here's where the dividing line is, and I know you'll agree with me. It's going to change in 06, but right now the CFP, who do they bow down to? ESPN. That they have the contract, so that's who matters. They'll open it up for bid, and that's what keeps the NFL honest, is the fact that they have four different networks involved.
Right. Well, that, and they've got a common goal. I mean, they all,
yes,
you know, they
money.
All, you know, that's the problem. College sports has no common goal. Hell, the teams within the conferences don't even get along.
I mean, Jeff, what you have in the NFL is you have 32 billionaires who are ruthless and will do anything humanly possible to win. In colleges, the same attitude exists. But you have to make the speech about students and athletes and academia and all this stuff that they may believe, but I'm not really believing much of what they say anymore when you consider what's going on around the sport.
Right. And that's where I've had a little bit of argument with you in the past, that they like to come out and preach about, oh, we're all about opportunities for these people. bull crap. It's all about football money right now.
Of course it is. They're not, I agree with you now.
They don't care about opportunities. You know what I mean?
Yeah, listen, I've heard the next time an academician, which will probably be Friday, starts talking about the most important thing is the student athlete, I'll try not to throw up, okay?
Right. But do you think we'll ever have a 3 to 5 person panel, committee, whatever?
Well here's what's about it. Jeff, what's happening right now, and you know this, is you're now starting to move the trash to the side. And there will be two people that have all the power in college athletics, and that's the commissioner of the Big Ten and the commissioner of the SEC. The hope is that those two can find common ground and decide to run the sport together.
Right. But I think it's almost hilarious how, as these two entities get stronger and more powerful, how Fox and ESPN have dug their heels in the ground.
Well,
and they're trying
Jeff,
to...
I really believe that's about to change because those two are going to need each other. I'll probably get fired for saying
okay.
that. I said it. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.